One word. Wow. What a weekend. Welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. A very excited Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose are here to guide you through one of the best weekends of the winter. It's absolutely crammed with big names, superstars, fascinating racing. Cannot wait. Really, really looking forward to it. ITV on Saturday have four from Sandown, four from Aintree. And then on Sunday, we've got some absolutely sensational action. So without further ado, we'll get stuck into Sandown's four ITV4 live races. Starting with the 150. It's a grade one. It's the Close Brothers Henry VIII Novices Chase over 2 miles. And we've got seven runners. Third Time Lucky heads the market at round about 7-4. Edward Stone 4-1. Il Ridotto 7-1. Milena Drama and Warlord 7-1. And it's 14-1 the other two. DJ, first up, is Third Time Lucky big at 7-4?
You could say that because he was 4-5 for most of the week. So, yeah, he has drifted a bit. I don't know. I prefer Edward Stone, to be honest with you. I just think with Third Time Lucky, he's not doing things the right way. He's kind of, I don't think he's channeling his ability in the best possible way. He's kind of making these mad mid-race moves. And to be honest with you, Bruce, this is, people would disagree with me here. I'm not sure how far he would have won, or even if he would have won, if Captain Tomcat didn't fall at the last of Cheltenham. I think he might have won by about 2 lengths, maybe 1 length. And therefore, I think he'd be a bigger price here. I thought he was tired coming up the hill, I thought, at Cheltenham. Edward Stone, to me, is a horse who hasn't been able to show what he's capable of. He's been a bit unlucky. But you have to remember, he was a 150 rated hurdler. So he was a better hurdler than Third Time Lucky, who was rated 143. And I liked the way he jumped at Warwick last time. I thought he landed running at each of his fences. That was a good race that Stephanie Causeway was in. Like the way he jumped, I think his speed over his fences will stand him over the railway fences. And to me, he's just a bit of an easier ride than Third Time Lucky is. And at the prices, even now, even though they've come closer together, I prefer Edward Stone to Third Time Lucky.
You're so polite and nice and decent, DJ. When I dangle my chin out with a silly opinion, feel free to just say no, you moron. Keith, who do you think will win this?
I'm slightly more positive about DJ than DJ about Third Time Lucky, to be honest. I mean, I still want to see him in a finish properly before I start going big licks about him being a proper Arco contender and whatnot. So, but I think he probably will win this race. He needs sort of 160 almost to win this race on RPRs, and he's the only horse that's really shown me they've got that in them over fences so far. I think the bet in the race, though, there are three firms, so I think it's Bet365, Hills and Skybet, are already offering betting without Third Time Lucky on this race, and that's where I'm going to be playing in it, because I don't think Do Your Job should be the rag of the field. I'm not sure he'll beat Third Time Lucky if the favourite turns up and runs like he can, but Do Your Job was such a likeable horse last year. We watched him on the telly at Kelso, giving Mai Drogo, well, not quite a race, but being right up there until the last, and given his best at Aintree when he was second to Belfast Banter as well. Basically a borderline grade one novice hurdler, but he looks a chaser, he's bred to be a chaser, and he made a really quite taking start at Warwick when he won on the 5th of November there. So I think if he was better connected, you know, he's trained by Michael Scudamore, who wouldn't be as fashionable as Dan Skelton for one, and I think if he was in a better yard, he'd be a lot shorter than 16-1. You can back in 10s without Third Time Lucky. That's a mad price.
Excellent. Keith, if there's 52 racing Saturdays in a year, where does this rank for you between 1 and 52?
Oh, it would be right up there, wouldn't it? I mean, it's come on sometimes and it's a cliche to say, oh, there's something for everyone this weekend, lads. Well, there is something for everyone this weekend, because there's slow chasers and there's fast chasers. And that's all I need. So there's so many. And it's not just the fact that it's all chasers. It's there's three of the most interesting jumping tests you get in this country on Saturday. The national fences that are given. Aintree's mild May fences are some of the most difficult park fences in the country, and watching one fly over them is a great sight. And then our Sandown, which the fences there aren't that difficult, but there's bloody loads of them, and they're configured in such a way to make for a really unique jumping test. It's, yeah, I would, without sitting down and getting the pen and paper out, I think you've got to put it in the top three.
Excellent. Lovely stuff right then. Well, for many people, the highlight of the weekend will be the 2:25 at Sandown on Saturday. Again, 2 miles is the trip for the Betfair Tingle Creek. We know we don't have Shishkin, but we've got over that. And we've got five terrific chasers. headed by Chacon Pourcoir, who is our best price 11-10 as things stand. Nube Negra is 11-4. Grenadine 11-2. 14-1 Captain Guinness. 14-1 Hitman. Before the lads tell us their reasoned selections, which have been honed by hours and hours of form study, I would just like to say how warmed my heart would be if Bryony Frost wins this on Grenadine, because this hasn't been a good week for racing. There's been two very, very controversial and pretty dismal stories in the news this week. And I must say that the Bryony Frost hearing and all the stuff that's come out in that has been thoroughly depressing. I would love it if Bryony Frost passed the post in front. But David and Keith will be looking at it through a hard-nosed punting prism. And let's see what they've come up with, starting with Keith.
Yeah, this is, I'm not sure there's a bet in this, to be honest. Chacon's price has contracted a little bit since Declarations. At Declarations, I thought it's going to be a fascinating tactical race. Who's going to lead? Is Rachel Blackmore going to play ball and go on? And if she doesn't, oh, is Patrick Mullins going to be left to make his own running on Chacon Pourcoir? And he needs a good pace, and Nube Negra needs a good pace, and it's going to be really difficult and intricate, and it's his first ride at Sandown. And then Mullins came out yesterday and said, I'm just going to bounce him out. So the plan's there. It's down in black and white. If Patrick Mullins gets that remotely right, you'll probably win on Chacon Pourcoir. I'm not particularly sure there's a bet in the race. People that were, I know Graham Rodway did this, that got three places about Grenadine earlier in the week. They've done really well. If 11-2 now, Grenadine, if he keeps going out a little bit more, I might be tempted, because he is a 170 chaser, this horse. And yes, like Nube Negra, he did hand Altiora's backside last season. So yeah, there's a price at which I'll back him, but at the moment, at these prices, I'm not really seeing a bet in the race.
Are you, David?
I was all week. I thought, you know, anything around kind of 6-4, 13-8, 7-4 was too big of a Chacon Pourcoir. It's simple as this, really. He's the best horse in the race. We all know that. Everybody knows that. He's the best horse in the race, so the likely scenario is that he will win. The worry, obviously, is just first time out and ground. They're the two big worries. And hopefully he'll run, because if Chacon Pourcoir comes out of this, it just changes the complexion of this race completely. So I'm hoping there's enough juice in the ground for him to run. To me, I've said it a couple of times in the last few weeks, I still think 6-1 for the champion chase about Chacon Pourcoir is a huge price. I think he's the best 2-mile chaser in training. And I still think, and obviously Shishkin and Energumene have to come up and prove how good they are, but I still think he just had an off day at Cheltenham to me. People will say he didn't get the up the hill and that he doesn't like Cheltenham. I think it was just an off day where they didn't ride him to get the best out of him. I think here, over the railway fences, he's so efficient over his fences. He's not exuberant and he's not overly flashy. He's just very quick at getting from A to B, and there's no fuss. And that's what I like about Chacon Pourcoir. That's what I like about horses at Sandown. I don't think you have to be overly exuberant. And to me, he's going to bounce out. I can't have Grenadine, Captain Guinness or Hitman. I think it's a two-horse race. I think Nube Negra, I think Harry will try and stalk Patrick. And I just think class will get him home. I don't think you'll see 100% Chacon, given the ground and given it's his first run for 221 days. But I think this is one of the times where just he's just that much better than these that I think he'll get by. So I think he will win. I wouldn't back him at evens, but I think he'll win.
Just to come on the Cheltenham Hill thing, you know, that had a lot of traction sort of in the spring there. I'm absolutely certain it's a red herring. He has won races very impressively that have tested stamina more than that champion chase did. It's not about the hill for him. I just think he's a cruiser. He needs an even gallop all the way through is what that horse needs. It's nothing to do with stamina.
OK, thank you. A quick word on the weather, by the way, and the ground. It's currently good at Sandown, but there is some rain forecast overnight. It might not be enough to have much of an impact. But up at Aintree, where we will be discussing, therefore, ITV races soon, there's a lot of rain forecast, particularly during the afternoon. So do bear that in mind. Right then, 3 o'clock at Sandown, we move on to the Betfair Exchange London National, over 3.5 miles. And we've got Strictly a Dancer at the head of affairs at 4-1. Deez Rabba is 9-2, Salty Boy 7, Larry 15-2, Christmas in April 8, Highland Hunter 7-2, The Mighty Don is 9s, and it's 11 bar, and there are 4 places available here with Skybet and William Hill. David Jennings, lead on, my friend. Have you sussed one here?
Oh, sure. I think Deez Rabba is one of the best handicapped horses in training when he's on a going day, but the question is whether he'll be on a going day. He is so frustrating. I have torn my hair out with this horse. But it obviously Sandown seems to be the making of him, because he's 2 from 2 at Sandown. And while it's a track that I actually didn't think would suit him, it turns out it absolutely does. To me, he's one of these horses who you think has had, we've said this last week as well about Fiddler on the Roof, you kind of think Deschab has had more runs than he has. He seems to be been around for a long time, but he's only had 9 runs over fence, and he's won 3 of them. 2 of them have been at Sandown. And I thought there was so much spark in him last time, I thought, at Aintree in that 3-mile hurdle when he was just beaten by Kashari, remastered, of course, who probably would have won the Ladbrokes Trophy. He was third. Pylon, who runs in the at Sandown today, he was 4th. I thought it was a really good contest. So that's already working out really well. So don't be too disheartened by the fact that an 80-1 shot won it. Kashari was a good horse for Willie Mullins. Off 140, if he gets into a rhythm, especially with Hobbs's horses running well this season, if he gets into a rhythm, he is seriously well handicapped off 140. And I think you're getting a decent enough price to find out if he is or not. He's 9-2. I think he should be favoured, and I think he should be a strong favourite. It's all a case of Bruce, whether he's on his best behaviour or not. So hopefully he will be.
Thank you very much, DJ. Deezer Abbott is his selection. Who's your selection, Keithy?
Well, I've got a good test for one of my theories here, that even though Strictly a Dancer has got form over 3-mile 5, I'm not sure he stays this far. His 3-mile 5 forms at Fakenham, and you get dizzy going round Fakenham that many times. It's a completely different test, this, and although he's a very progressive horse, I'll be looking to take him on here. The one I'll be doing it with is Christmas in April, who he was second in last year's Southern National, well beaten, but by Cloudy Glenn, who was running off about 134 and obviously won the Ladbrokes Trophy last week. Just beat a horse for third or for second that won this race next time out. It's that Doing Fine, who's got loads of good form in this sort of race here. He's off a higher mark then than he is now. And the rest of the winter, in line with the Tizard Yard as a whole, he was just bang out of form. Came back to form a little bit to win at Newton Abbott. Now, that was 3-mile 2 at Newton Abbott on good ground in May. That's not what Christmas in April needs. What Christmas in April needs is a massive plod. And he didn't. So basically, he won that in spite of himself a little bit. And then he ran at Carlisle. Again, 3-mile 2 soft at Carlisle. That's bottom end for this horse, who I cannot reiterate enough is a very slow horse. But finished second to Hold That Tot, who was, again, another, just running into another Venetia Williams handicap block. He keeps doing it, this horse. Hopefully he won't hear. In fact, I don't think he can. And he's still a handicap of 135. This is a sort of test he needs. I'm back in Christmas in April.
Keith, just a quick word on the Mighty Don. I've fallen for him after that Cheltenham run. Can you put me off, or do you think he can sneak into a place? He needs as far as he can possibly get, doesn't he?
He can't jump. Dejaba is about, you know, it's if he fancies it, but like Dejaba, he might run himself a big race. There's so many fences at Sandown, he's bound to miss a few of them, and therefore I couldn't really have him. I mean, he's a horse I've been lulled into a few times myself, but that jumping technique just absolutely stinks, so I won't be touching him.
If there is ever a trap, I will fall for it, that's for sure. Right, the 3:35 at Sandown, 2 miles is the trip for the Betfair Daily Rewards December Handicap Hurdle Listed Race, and there's some horses who've been mentioned numerous times by the chaps on the postcast down the years at the head of the market, including Benson, who's currently 7-2 fav, Hudson de Grugy is 9-2, Metier is 5, Samarive 7, Zambezi Fix 12, and it's 14-1 bar. Let's give you some extra place news. Most of the firms are 4, but a few are 3, so do watch out for that. Right, we'll start with you then, Keith.
Yeah, it's a really competitive race, and not a race, because it's a little bit out my normal hitting zone, not one I'd be getting massively excited about, but there is one horse that I'm absolutely convinced is better than their current mark, and that's Samarive, who only had, you know, a lot of these horses that come from France have a few runs in France before they come over, but he only had one. It was this sort of time last year at Angers, and he won that pretty well, came across and looked really good at Kempton on his British debut back in April, flopped a little bit at Cheltenham, but you look at that Kempton run, there is no question this horse is better than 130. He's had a little bit more time with Paul Nicholls to help grow up. And yeah, whether it happens today or it happens later in the season, this horse will be making 130 look very generous. So he is the one I'd be looking at to back.
Samarive for Keith. Dave, who'd you like?
Oh, it's going to happen. Keith said it's going to happen at some stage this season. I think it's going to happen here. I think he's chucked in off 130. And even the way he travelled, like, I think he hit a low of 2.16 in running at Cheltenham. And I have to say, coming down the hill, I said to myself, oh my God, we're looking at a bit of a monster here. Because now I say monster, I mean like as in a handicap hurdle monster, because I just loved the way he travelled.
Well, I didn't think you meant a real monster. Like out of a
superhero. But I don't mean like a Plutar or Shaken Persois or Mr. Coffee or something stupid like that. But I mean Samarive, like just the way he travelled. I just thought it was a real indication that this horse had been working really well at home, and he obviously went off 5-2 that day, so he must have been. But it was kind of like, it was the first time, like he won his race easily in France, and then he won by 13 lengths at Kempton. And it was the first time he actually had to battle. And I just thought when he was asked to kind of quicken on the home turn, he didn't really know what to do. And it was all a bit of a shock to the system. I think with that under his belt, Harry Cobden is back on board here. He's been dropped 2 pounds as well. And I can see him absolutely tanking into the home straight. Now, you'll need to be £10 well in to win this race. I think he is. I think he's certainly 140 horse. I think Metier needs softer ground. Benson is like he's a hard watch for all that he wins a lot of races. He's a hard watch. And I think Samarive, I think he will be last off the bridle. And I just think he's a couple of steps ahead of the handicapper that he'll get the job done. So Samarive for me as well. I think 7-1 is a big price.
Last off the bridle? Elegant escapes in the race.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, God, Elegant Escape. When did he last run over Jump?
Elegant Escape. What's the point there?
Think on it. I'll just be to get his confidence back. He's been off 21 months. If you give me a 2 mile handicap hurdle, he'd be down there among likely runners with Westmead Hawk.
Oh, I loved Westmead Hawk. Yeah.
But he's it's Elegant Escape. But it's good to see him back. But yeah,
I'm not sure that the Gold Cup at Cheltenham is the usual prep for this race. So yeah. That'll be interesting. Right then, the boys both fancy Samarive in the 3:35 at Sandown. We're going to switch our attention to Aintree next.
The Racing Post Christmas Countdown offers you the chance to win the ultimate Cheltenham Festival experience for you and three friends. Travel in style to Gold Cup Day with helicopter transfers from your five-star hotel and experience fine dining in the Chez Roux restaurant with some of the finest views over the course. To enter, simply place a bet on the Racing Post app today. And on top of that, there are huge weekly prizes available as well. Find out more at racingpost.com/Christmas Countdown.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Early start at Aintree, 11:15 is their first race. The fifth race is the first one that is being covered live on ITV4. And it is the 2 mile, 1 furlong. Unibet proudly supports racing is everyone's sport, juvenile fillies hurdle. With 11 runners, White Pepper, the Fav, at 2-1 for Gavin Cromwell. 13-2, Lady Pacifico. 15-2, C Sessions. 8-1, Adosh. 17-2, 6 feet apart, and 11 bar. Is it probably not one of the most captivating races on paper of the weekend that we will be watching live on TV? But DJ, is there a bet in here?
Probably not at the price. I do think White Pepper will probably win. She's the best price 2-1. I think she'll go off a little bit shorter than that. Gavin Cromwell has history in this race. He won it with Jerry's Girl, who went on to be very, very good in 2015. And Famous Millie, who wasn't great, but it was a really good opportunity found by Gavin in 2017. I think he's done the same here. Didn't do much, I thought, on first start over hurdles. Made a mistake at the second last. But last time at Galway, I have to say I was impressed then. I thought she was, the way she went about it and the way she kind of attacked the race and kicked clear and kept going. Like, she won by 13 lengths, but it was a very easy 13 lengths. Conor McNamara, good young rider. Yeah, 2-1 is probably just a little bit too big. I think she'll win.
Are you not worried with White Pepper that last run that you might need to take that form with a pinch of salt?
That's actually very good, oh, Bruce. I like that. That is my type of humour.
Keith.
I'm glad DJ went first. I'm less glad for your intervention, Bruce, to be honest. But I'm glad DJ went first because I was waiting to see what he wanted to say about White Pepper, because I'd go a bit further. I'm sitting here thinking, why isn't this horse 5-4? You know, there's a lot of potential down the field, but she looked very good at Galway. Has taken the hurdling very well. She's obviously flatbred, but most of these will be flatbred, these juvenile fillies at this stage. I just thought she was, I had to check 2-1 was right. On what she's achieved, she should probably be around 5-4, 11-8. So I think at 2-1, you want to be getting involved.
Right. Okay. Let's see who the lads want to be involved in the 205 Aintree. Wow. What a treat this is. 3 mile, 1 furlong the trip over the Mildmay fences for the Unibet Many Clouds Chase, commemorating that wonderful horse. And what a field. We've got 8 runners. So if they all stand their ground, we've got each way potential. I'm going to give you a full show because it's that kind of race. 7-4 Favre's Protectorate. 5-2, the beautiful Native River Imperial Aura after that horrible fall is back and ready to rock again. He's 7-2. Simply the Bet's 13-2. We've got Sam Brown at 16. Horse called Tiger Roll, I don't know much about. He's 20-1. 66-1, the Two Amigos, and 66-1, Wishing and Hoping. What a race, Keith.
Oh, it's a great race, isn't it? Really good race here. And, you know, Native River might be looking, thinking, how's Many Clouds got a better race named after him than I have? I've got a good 3 mile handicap at Chepstow and I want a gold cup. But it's a really smashing race. Probably the best renewal we've had of this race, probably. But with the, even with no album photo and no champ. But there's a bet in it. There's definitely a bet in it because cast your mind back to the Paddy Power. It's 3 weeks ago. Protectorate and Simply the Bets, who are both in this race, were joint top weights. Simply the Bets jumped the last in second, and he got dead tired, and he finished sixth, I think dead heated for sixth in the end, and Protected Up was second. He's on £3 better terms here. He's a more likely 3 miler to me than Protectorate, and shaped basically as well as him at Cheltenham because he almost certainly wasn't quite fit for the Paddy Power. And yet Protectorate 7-4 and Simply the Bets is 13-2. It is an extremely wrong price. You know, you look at Imperial Aura, who's 7-2 and getting backed already. As novices, they met, and he was a better horse than Imperial Aura. He won a better race at Cheltenham when they were both novices. There's everything about this just says to me Simply the Bets is far too big a price at 13-2. Now, he might not be the likeliest winner necessarily, but he should be right up there with those market principles, and he isn't. It's a very wrong price, and I've already got involved.
And with 8 runners, presumably that's a lovely little each-way opportunity, Keith, yeah?
Maybe not, actually, because if I'm wrong about his stamina, he finishes nowhere. So,
oh, okay.
I've backed him when only.
Jolly good. Who are you going to be backing, David?
I don't think Protectorate will stay. Native River is 12 in January, and he was well beaten by Clandas Obo at Aintree. Imperial Aura now has serious question marks over him. Unlike Keith, I'm not convinced Simply the Best is going to get a thoroughly run. And when you say this will be a properly ran 3 mile 210 yards on deep enough ground at Aintree, I think that's a big question as to whether he'll get home. So for me, the one I'm going to chance at the prices is definitely Sam Brown. Now, I am a fan of this horse, and there's probably listeners thinking, oh, he's tipping Sam Brown. He'd tip Sam Brown if he ran the Gold Cup or a Champion Hurdle. I wouldn't. I just think fresh on deep ground now could be the time to catch him, because I was all over him for the Ladbrokes Trophy last season and the rain just didn't come in time. His run last season at Carlisle, when he was given ways to Imperial Aura and basically led over the last, I thought that was a hell of a run, to be honest with you, on over a trip that was way short of his best. That was 2.5 miles. Now, I spoke to Anthony Honeyball about this horse at Punchestown because he came over to run, and I actually cornered him in the parade, and I said, look, I love this horse. What's the story? I said, 1.48. I said, this is the best handicapped horse in training. He said, he's impossible to keep right. He said, he's had more problems than, he actually had a good quote at the time, but I can't remember what it was. Probably Greece or something. They were in financial difficulty or something. But he said, he's had more problems than whoever, me potentially. And he said he's just a very, very hard to get right, horse to get right. But on deep enough ground here, 3 mile, 210 yards, first time out, 16-1. Yes, Sam Brown will do for me. It's all about the first mile of the race, Bruce. If he gets into a good rhythm, I think he's got a massive chance.
Okay, right then, 240 at Aintree. We've got the national fences in the way of a terrific field of 22 runners, 3 miles and 2 furlong for the Unibet Beecher Chase. And obviously there's going to be plenty of extra places here. Let's have a quick look. Skybet and William Hill are offering 7 places. So that's good. Mac Totty, current favourite, along with Snow Leopard at 7-1. 15-2, Mighty Thunder. 10, Kimberlite Candy. 11, Chris's Dream. 12, Check It Out. 12, Vieux Lion Rouge. 14, LeBroy. 16, Bar. Before you guys give me your tips, a quick tribute to Vieux Lion Rouge. This is his 11th run over the Grand National fences. And in the National last year, it was the first he didn't complete. He absolutely waltzed to victory in this year. He's just been a complete and utter superstar. Still only 12. Feels like he should be 16. I don't know whether the lads are going to tip him, but I just wanted to give him a big up because I think he's an absolute star. Right then, Keith, who wins?
Well, first of all, Vieux Leon Rouge needs his own race named after him, doesn't he? He has been an absolute superstar. He's £5 higher and obviously a year older than last year. He's going to run well. And I tell you what, if you're betting in your seven places, he's absolutely a horse to consider because, as you say, I think he's jumped something like 300 of these national fences. It was 200 and odd before he fell at one or something. It was an absolutely
It's amazing,
ridiculous
isn't it? What an absolutely superb horse. I love him. I absolutely love him. But who's your main focus here?
Unfortunately, I'm not just backing one in this race, but I don't think it's a very deep race. There's a lot of horses here who are, I don't think are going to stay potentially. There's quite a lot that are just getting a look at the Grand National fences before they maybe come back in the spring for the National itself or maybe the Topham. And there's a lot of horses at the bottom there that are miles out the weights that I couldn't particularly fancy. I'm going to have two each way with those loads of places to hope that I get at least one sneaking in. They're both prices. Akeel's one, who goes really well fresh, has a lot of form in these big field handicaps. He's been second in at least three grades. In fact, three of his last four starts, he's been second in grade threes. And he does have that good record fresh. Very lightly raced for an 11-year-old because he has had his issues, hence the good record fresh. Another one that might need a little bit more explanation is Hill 16 on the second run for Sandy Thompson. He was third in that Christmas in April race I was talking about earlier, and he looked like he barely got home there, to be quite honest with you. He is bred to get at least 3 miles. He hasn't had that many races, and he basically was the fact he's been sold off from Nigel Twist and Davies. He was a million in mind horse. They're not keeping hold of those horses until they've served all their purpose. They're looking to make more money off their horses. So I thought the run behind Hold That Top was a really good prep for a go at a decent 3 mile plus handicap chase, and he's turned up here. He's 25-1 and you're getting 7 places, so I'll be having a bet on him too.
General knowledge quiz for you, Keith. Where is Hill 16?
Would it be really bad? In fact, I'm going to take a leaf out of your book and say it's somewhere between Hill 15 and Hill 17.
No, no. Come on, DJ, you should know your history. Come on.
Is it
really? You should know this. DJ, you tell him.
What's the most famous stadium in Ireland, Keith?
Croke Park.
Very good. Well done. Yeah, it is. Hill 16 is where it's at the back of one of the goals. And it's where the Dubs, when Dublin are playing, they all amalgamate in Hill 16, yeah, very famous place.
Mm. I've been to Croke Park for hurling. It was one of the greatest sporting experiences I've ever had, despite the hangover, but it was so good. I absolutely loved it. What a place it is. Anyway, never mind that. Let's get back to the racing. DJ, who wins the Beecher?
Well, in the previous race, I kind of went with the fresh, soft ground angle with Sam Brown. I'm going to do the same here with Chris's Dream, who I think, obviously, is the class act in the race, but I think now could be the time to catch him. Like, I thought he was travelling as well as anything. Maybe not as well as stablemate Manila Times when he came down the Grand National, but he seemed to be tanking at the time, I thought, when he fell 4 out. Chatting to Henry, he said he was absolutely loving it, Darrow Keefe told him. And he was supposed to come back a couple of times. Like, I think it was the Ladbrokes Trophy was the main aim, and then the ground was too quick. And I think it could be a blessing in disguise that the rain didn't arrive, because he's going to get his beloved soft ground here. And you look at his record fresh, like, it's really, really good. So it is. He's won after 192 days off, 81 days off, 267 days off, 208 days off, 81 days off. And then even he returned last season, first time out after 232 days off in the Ladbrokes Champion Chase at Down Royal. He's only beaten a neck by the Storyteller. So, like, his record fresh is unbelievable. Now, he has to defy a mark of 162 here, but if he's ever going to do it, it's going to be first time out. And I think the ground and obviously the fences we saw really suit him. So, yeah, I'm going to take a stab on Chris's Stream. I think 11-1 is a decent price.
DJ, when you ring trainers for quotes and ask them about their horses for the previews we have in the paper, there's obviously some you ring with trepidation and some you're not sure what you're going to get, and some you know it's going to be an absolute pleasure. What's De Bromhead like? If you're sort of pricing up in your head, are you going to get a warm welcome and lots of quotes or a bit of short shrift? What's he like to talk to?
Oh, yeah. See, myself and Henry, I wouldn't say we're besties, but we have quite a good relationship. I named my daughter after his daughter. So when I was interviewing him, I probably told the story before, but when I was interviewing him before Cheltenham 2 years ago, we were in the sitting room, and then his kids came in from school and he was calling them in and he was like, "Jack, Georgia." I was like, "Oh, Georgia, that's a nice name." And then she came in and she was a lovely little thing. And I went home to Aoife, who was due, I think, a month later. And I said, what about Georgia Jennings? And she said, that's it. That's the name. So we named. So he knows that I named my daughter after his daughter. So that's our kind of click.
Oh, so you'll always get a warm welcome, yeah?
Yeah, well, unless I write anything bad about him. So, yeah. Yeah, no, we get on great. Yeah, no, he's
which
great.
Trainer, which trainer do you dial their number with a feeling of absolute dread?
Ah, well, sure, that's obvious. Mr. J.S. Bulger, you never know what you're going to get. In fairness, our last few conversations have been great, but yeah, you never know what you're going to get there now.
Brilliant. Right then, 3:15 at Aintree, the 2 mile furlong Unibet 2021 Horse Race Betting Operator of the Year, Handicap Hurdle. We've got 15 runners, but don't worry, those generous bookies, plenty of them are offering 4 places and Skybet are offering 5. So Tamar Bridge for Ollie Murphy heads the market at 7-2, Midnight River 6-1, Pounding Poet 6-1, 9-1 Carries Commodity and 12-1 Bar. DJ, we'll stick with you for the first selection. What have you got for us?
I think Midnight River could be a class above these. Second run after Wind Up was very disappointing, the way he jumped at Carlisle. I thought he was going to make a smashing chaser. But just on his form from last season, you see the type, the caliber horse he's been running against. I think off 1.38, I think he's just a level above these. So Midnight River for me, second run after Wind Up.
Okay. Oh, Keith, before we get your selection, of course, before the imbecile that was editor at the time realised that you were a sensational betting editor in waiting, you spent many years being a reporter, didn't you? So I'm going to ask the same question. Who was your favourite trainer to ring up for quotes and who did you least look forward to calling?
The least is actually the easier one. Or maybe it's I was really looking forward the first time I rang Venetia Williams.
Yeah.
But she's very much name, rank and serial number when you speak to her, as befits somebody that learned at Martin Pipe's elbow, so I believe. So yeah, I was expecting long chats with Venetia and I got name, rank and serial number. So maybe I'm coloured by that. But yeah, and in terms of the good one to ring up, the person that I had a really quite good relationship was Brian Ellison, but he didn't really relish ringing Brian up because he's not he's not going to be doing continuity announcements on the BBC anytime soon.
No,
he was always had a good relationship.
He's really interesting, isn't he? He's good guy. He's just a good down-to-earth chap, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He genuinely is just one of those local lads that, you know, and he's done well for himself, just worked his way up to where he is. And yeah, I always enjoyed speaking to Brian.
Excellent. Very interesting. Thank you for those insights, gents. Keith, we need your selection for the 3:15 at Aintree.
Again, it's not a race I've got even less of a strong view in this one than I have in other ones I've mentioned, but I noticed Cateson's back in off the same mark. He won it last year. I don't mind the move from Tom Lacey to Alistair Ralph particularly, and he got fit for this with a run over fences. This horse has never been a chaser as far as I'm concerned. I always thought he'd make a chaser, but he hasn't. He's a better hurdler. They've used that run over fences just to get him down to a nice sort of mark where he's back over hurdles. And, you know, not after winning this race last year off this mark, he went on to finish 5th in a really strong Grade 3 at the Grand National meeting over the course and distance. So loads of course form, evidently suits the long straight here and just has quite a bit going for him.
Splendid. That's the TV action done, but there is loads more to come. Don't go anywhere.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post weekend postcast. What a weekend it is. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose. We've done the TV action. Let's find out now what the boys think you should be backing elsewhere on Saturday. They're not going to give their naps away, but let's see what they've got for us. And we'll start with Keith.
Yeah, I'm going to be bigging up the merits of form at Worcester. It's about a theme across my three away selections here. It's a bit strange, but we've got in the 12-12 at Chepstow, got a horse called When You're Ready, who I thought shaped really quite well in a race that Magic Dancer won at Worcester back in October. This When You're Ready had been progressive over hurdles last season. The second that day was a horse called Not Available, who won at Newbury last week as well. And it's just a race that appealed to me as quite strong form that at Worcester, and it's worked out that way so far. So he's going in the 12-12 at Chepstow, and I'll be backing him.
The 122 bit of 11-2 there.
Yep, the limited two is the price you're getting at the moment. I mean, a lot of these prices on these away races, it's very, very early days in those markets. It might not last as long as it takes this to go out on air. So I can be cautious with those. But one of the things that tells us this weekend's so good is that the Welsh National Trial, the 122 at Chepstow, is on. It just never gets quoted. It's just you're at the third meeting. What do you expect? It's a really good race, and I'm going to be chancing Springtown Lake in that race. I know people will be saying, oh, that horse again. He's really talented. He's actually gone to Oliver Sherwood now, having been probably one of the most frustrating horses in Philip Hobbs's yard. And now he's off 135. He could carry these off 135. He is a massively talented horse. Going up to 3 miles, I think, will help his jumping, which has been one of the things that's held him back in his career. And he should really stay 3 miles. He's got point form. He's bred to stay 3 miles. He's not had that many goes under rules. And in a race, it's actually quite competitive. You're double-figure odds at the moment about Springtown Lake, and I've backed him already in the 122 at Chepstow. And then finally, another Tim Sizer horse in the 137 at Weatherby. St. Palais won a race at Worcester back in October again, looking like a really taking and a young chaser to follow. This race is weak. You've basically got Castle Robin in there, the second favourite, and nothing, a bag of nails otherwise, to be perfectly honest with you. So St. Palais and the 137 at Weatherby should be winning that as well.
Nice one. Thanks, Keith. David, over to you.
Yeah, this section actually went reasonably well for me last week. It's a few winners of fairy
dust. It certainly did, mate. I saw the first one. I thought, hang on a sec, DJ's put one up here. And I thought, well, let's see if I can kick my day off with a winner. And I certainly did. So many thanks for that, mate.
Yeah, 16-1 and 8-1, I think, the two of fairy dust were. So I won't be following that, that's for sure. My day is going to start very, very early because I think there's a beast run in the first race at Sandown. I napped him a few weeks ago and he didn't run. Might I runs for Harry Fry and Larkin Murta. I put this up in another show for the Ballymore. He's run over 2 miles now, but he's a half brother to Statler, and I think when he steps up and trip, he's going to be really good. I think he's really good already, and I'd be devastated if he doesn't win that. He's one of these ones that'll probably be, you know, around about, you know, 11-8 or 5-4 first show, and I'd imagine go off about 8-13. That'd be my prediction anyway. That's my tie in the first race at Sandown to 12:05. There's a cracking card at Navan, my local track. And just a couple to mention, Ginto runs against Eric Bloodaxe and Mr. Fred Rogers in the Navan Novice Hurdle, the Grade 2. I know people think that Ginto
When's
is
that?
Slow. 12:33. Did I say that? No.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
No, you didn't. It's normally Keith we have to pull up, but Keith's no. Absolutely got it off to a tee now.
Maybe the reason I didn't say it is because it's the 12:33 and it's the number I can't say properly without the H's. So I think the Navan Novice Chase or the Navan Novice Hurdle used to be a Grade 1. It's a Grade 2 now. It's probably not the race it once was, but people think Ginto was really slow, and maybe he is, but I don't know. I just think he's going to beat Eric Bloodaxe, who's likely to go off favourite. So I'm going to give Ginto the nod in that 12:33. In the 108, Burning Victory runs off a mark of 143 in a 3 mile handicap hurdle. I think she's got a chance in the Mares Hurdle at Cheltenham. If she gets into a rhythm early, I think she'll win that. I see the first show was 9-2 about Burning Victory in that 108. She'll go off about 5-2, I'd say. So if you can get that 9-2 Burning Victory in the 108, I'd take it. Later on the card, Riviere Detel runs in the 143, the Grade 3 novice chase. She's been brilliant in her two starts so far, and her times have been really good as well. But you know what? I just think the real deal could make a really, really nice chaser. I seen him schooling in a video, and I thought he looked a complete natural for Ronan McNally. He's 11-2 at the moment, and I just have this thing in the back of my head that makes me think that he could just make into a smashing chaser. So the real deal for me in the 143. And finally, my final tip is in the 253. It's the Foxtrot Handicap Chase. It's a really valuable chase. Conflatus Jumping has gone to pot at the minute for whatever reason. I don't know what's happened to him. And Wawa runs here for Dermot McLaughlin. And actually, one of the owners of this is Gary O'Brien, Racing TV extraordinaire. He's one of the shareholders in this. And I thought he was really impressive when he won at Nace. Traveled, jumped, did everything right. He won that off 116. He's got up £12 to 128. But this Dermot McLaughlin's a brilliant trainer. This is a really good opportunity found for Wawa. And I think he will win the 253, hopefully around 4 or 5 to 1.
Marvellous. Thank you, gents. Let's get your weekend naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Keith Melrose.
Yeah, I think it's simply the bets for me at the prices in the 205 at Aintree. It's 30-2 out. It's wrong.
Okay, David?
I go for Data Abba in the 3 o'clock at Sandown.
Thank you very much, gents. Right, we need to turn our attention to Sunday, where there is yet more superb racing. And no better place to start than Punchestown at 2 o'clock, the John Durkin Memorial Punchestown Chase. 2.5 miles and half a furlong, and 10 runners. And here we go. Best prices: Envoi Alain 7-4, Fakir Doudary 100-30, 4-1, Alaho 9-1, Asterion Falange 14, Kemboy and 25, Bar. The action just keeps coming, doesn't it, DJ? And it's superb. Are you going to be lumping on Envoi Alain at 7-4?
Now, I'm a disaster for getting carried away, and you know me by now, Bruce. I get far too excited, but I genuinely cannot remember a better race in Ireland. This is as good as it gets. Like, it's just
so good,
unbelievable.
Isn't it? It's lovely. It's absolutely superb. I cannot wait for this.
Just to put this in perspective, like, here you've got, like, 160 is a pretty high rating for a horse, and here you've got 7 horses that rate 161 or higher, and that doesn't even include the Grand National winner, who's rated 159, Manila Times, who's 50-1. Now, I know, obviously, this isn't his bag, but a Grand National winner is 50-1. Like, it's just
Melon,
to show you.
33-1.
Yeah, it's just incredible, really. So it is. But it's a hell of a race. I hope Envoi Alain wins, because I still have retained the faith. I still think he's a really good horse. Now, he's got a bit to find on the figures. He's rated 11 pound inferior to Alaho. But just last time in this race in the fog, Alaho obviously was disappointing. He's been beaten first time out for the last 3 years in a row. So I just don't know if you're going to see the absolute peak Alaho here. Fakir Doudary has obviously had his run, looked really good in the Clonmel Oil Chase. But I just always thought Envoi Alain was just probably a better horse than him. At the prices, and again, you're looking for a little bit of value. At the prices, surely 9-1 about Asterion Falange, given his record fresh and given that it's right-handed and that he's got his ground now as well. Surely that's the play, I think, Asterion Falange. Like, when he ran a Punchestown in that novice handicap chase, it always works out really well. He was brilliant. Carried top weight there off 152, and he gave lumps away to walk away in Port Stanley and absolutely bolted up by 14 lengths. I think 9-1 Asterion Falange is probably the value.
Okay, just to say that Skybet offer 4 places, by the way, which is good. The only thing is they do tend to shorten the prices and you don't get best odds guaranteed. But if you want the safety net of a fourth place about an each-way shot like Asterion Falange, that is another option. Keith, some race?
Yeah, it's a great race. It'll be this is the test for Envoi Alain, isn't it? This is the first time he's met proper horses in Christ, he's meeting proper horses, isn't he? He's so many of them that he's lining up against them. He is a bit short. I want to take him on. You just want to keep taking horses like him on because we know he can run a 165 on the bridle, but that's all we know. I'll probably end up getting suckered into backing the best chaser in training, Alaho, even though he does his record first time up isn't that good. You know, you're getting back the best chaser around at 4-1. I might have a bit on, but, you know, I'd definitely take the point about him generally coming on for this run. The very fact he's running against Envoi Alain this time suggests that today maybe isn't the day where he's absolutely fine-tuned up. It's such a good race. And, you know, I'll almost be sullying in it by betting in it, but I probably will.
Excellent. Lovely stuff. Now then, we talked earlier about our hope that the Queen Mum Champion Chase features Enegamin, who I can never pronounce, Shakun Pursois and Shishkin. And Enegamin runs in the Hilly Way, the Kerry Group Hilly Way, at 2:20 at Cork on Sunday. 1-3. DJ, we don't need to linger necessarily unless you do think there is the potential for an upset.
No, I think he'll win. The one thing I will say, Bruce, is that is someday for Sean O'Keefe. Like, imagine if you were told like a couple of weeks ago that Sean O'Keefe would be riding Energamine, that he'd be riding Kilcrut, and that he'd be riding Dysart Dynamo on the one day. Like, it's an incredible opportunity for him.
It certainly is. Keith, can you see Energamine slipping up here, or do you think the dream of that superb three-way clash at Cheltenham in March will remain?
I think he wins. I mean, I didn't look at the race that closely because I thought, oh, he just wins that. So yeah, okay. Hopefully there's no slip ups, and it's just a routine bit of work almost.
Absolutely. Now then, you might think that was quite enough for a Super Sunday, but there's more. The 152 at Huntingdon, 2 miles, 4 furlongs for the Fitzstairs Peterborough Chase. All Mankind 11-8. Master Tommy Tucker 6s. Funambule, Savola, 13-2, Eldorado, Allen, 7, as his first flow, and Keeper Hill is 50s. Just the brilliant action just keeps coming, Keith. Is there a bet in the Peterborough Chase?
I don't think there is. I think All Mankind wins it. I think two and a half miles is him getting to the end of his tether. So if he gets into a real scrap, might have a look at an in-running bet against him. But I think 6-4 is entirely fair on the prices at the moment.
Okay, David?
Oh, I have a little bit of a theory here. I think All Mankind is actually going to suit Master Tommy Tucker. It's a stupid theory because it really shouldn't. But I just think if Owl Mankind sets the pace, which he's likely to do, and Master Tommy Tucker actually just sits behind him and actually gets to fill up his lungs every so often instead of just going hell for leather, I think it might actually suit Master Tommy Tucker. And I think a track like Huntingdon is going to really, really suit him. And at the prices, I would side with Master Tommy Tucker over Owl Mankind.
Okay, you did mention as well, DJ, that there's a couple of other superstars running at Cork. Tell us about that.
Oh, stop. Sure. Jesus, the superstars. You want eyes in the back of your head, so you would. Just for argument's sake, you've got Kilcrut, who runs in the... where's Kilcrut running again? He runs in the 12-10. It's not a bad race. Like, Harry Alonso was in there as well, so it's not a bad race. Largy Debut is there for Henry de Bromhead as well. So it's a decent race. Then you've got Dysart Dynamo, who's kind of around about 12-1, 14-1 for the Supreme and the Ballymore. He's 2-2. He runs for Willie and Sean O'Keefe in the second division of that at 12:40. And then you've got like the Mayor's Novice Chase, a Grade 2 concertista who won the Mayor's Novice Hurdle 2 seasons ago and was just pipped in the Mayor's Hurdle last season. She runs in this against Riviere de Tell is declared, but it's likely to run at Navan on Saturday once the ground is okay. But Magic Days is in here, recorded a brilliant time, man. Last time at Cork, when absolutely obliterating the field there, won by 25 lengths, and she looks exceptional, that 145 as well. So there's the Cheltenham markets are going to look completely different Sunday night compared to Saturday morning. That's all I know.
Absolutely. And Maddie will be back on Monday with a crack team of analysts to make sure that they're right across everything that happens and bring you all the reaction and latest Cheltenham market moves. Where are you going to be reporting from this weekend, Dave?
Punchestown, yeah, I'm in Punchestown on Sunday.
Who's down at Cork? Big Justy?
Justy is at Cork, yeah. Justy is at Cork. He could be commentating as well.
Is he calling them home, Justin?
He could be, yeah. He does Cork quite a bit. I'd say he probably is.
Cool. That's a big gig, that one, isn't it? Star names, huge fields. That'll be good, that, won't it? And what are you doing Saturday?
I'm on a news shift, which means kind of previews for Sunday. So it's kind of nice. You get kind of... you're warm in front of the fire watching the race and getting paid for it.
Excellent. It's not bad, is it? And Keith, have you got a busy one or do you have the weekend off being as senior as you are?
I'm off work. We've got stuff to do. We're off visiting some friends, but I'll hopefully get back in time to watch a bit of Kelso Sunday.
I'll actually get to see you on Monday, Keith, I hope. Are you going?
Yes, I am going, DJ. I'll be getting on a train, coming down early Monday morning. You flying over?
Oh, sorry, lads. What's that? What's going on Monday?
Yeah, it's small matter of the HWPA Derby Awards.
Oh, really? Well, the postman. I've seen the postman every morning walk past. I haven't delivered anything. That's what it's become, is it? Jesus Christ! I used to be the table host. I was the centre of attention. Now I don't even get invited.
Sorry, I didn't do the invites.
Don't worry, David. You're up for an. Are you both up for awards? You are, aren't you?
Yeah, DJ's up for that many. I think he's doing entertainment afterwards, doesn't he?
Yeah, ridiculously.
I do hear that someone FaceTimed him earlier and he was clearing the mantelpiece. He took the vase off the pictures of him and Aoife. So I think he's expecting a bumper. And Keith, what are you in the specialist writer category?
Yes, I'm up for specialist writer.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I hope the both of you bring it home. So you're getting the train down Monday morning, Keith?
That's right, yeah. I forget what time I'm booked on. I'll check. But yeah, it's an early-ish start on Monday.
Did you say you had one for us at Kelso in between
times? Yeah, oh yes. It's Borders National Day at Kelso.
Of course it is. So Big River! Big River's running!
Big Grifter's running. The Grifter's running, yeah, absolutely. He's the second top weight. And I've not got prices at the time of recording on this race, so I won't have any. I mean, I'm looking out for what price Geronimo is because he's been aimed at the race and it's been his aim for probably about 2 years, this horse. He's quite fragile, but I would see prices before I would commit to a bet on it particularly. The bet at Kells was actually the race before. Geronimo was trained by Sandy Thompson. Sandy Thompson makes no quibbles about the Ames horses at the Borders National in this meeting wider. And the 12:33 at Kelso Overcourt runs in the 0-120 3-mile handicap chase. And he's just better than them. His chasing debut at Sedgefield, he gave Mr. Muldoon a race. That horse is rated about 140 now. Overcourt gets in this race of 120. It is his reappearance, but and Thompson's always, almost always need the reappearance. But this, if they're not going to, it's on this card at Kelso. So Overcourt, I think, is just going to win the 12:33.
Beautiful. Listen, lads, thank you so much for your input. I'm obviously unbiased. I hope Racing Post staff who are up for these awards do as well as possible. But I would take especial pleasure from either or both of you winning because you're both fantastic. You do a brilliant, brilliant job for us. So good luck. Good luck to all of you. Thank you very much for listening. I hope the betting goes well. Don't forget, there is so much on. It's quite easy to get carried away. So please set aside a betting budget for the weekend and don't go over that. Maddie's back on Monday. We're back next Friday to look ahead to the newly named Racing Post Gold Cup at Cheltenham. Hope you can join us for those.